What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only, baby. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edor Zooming, coming to you here on May 8th, 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a hump day for all of you keeping track Wednesday. For those of you that don't celebrate the humps, appreciate y'all being here with me. Appreciate y'all listening to the Zoo Yorker. Make sure you hit that follow. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating if you so wish to do so. Helps people get the eyes on the podcast and let them know what the hell we're doing over here. Appreciate y'all. And of course, if you got something to say to me, holla at your boy on the Twitter, on the X machine, at ZooBeard77, that's ZOOBEARD77. You can do that whenever you please, but for right now, let me talk to you. Because these New York Rangers, it's a beautiful thing when a number one seed does what a number one seed is supposed to do. And they come out and they win. They sweep a first round series and get that over with as quick as humanly possible. And then they come out in the second round taking on a team that, for whatever reason, is favored over them, even though they have home ice advantage. What do? They're not fazed. They take game one, they take game two versus the Hurricanes. Rangers up 2-0 going into Carolina after winning maybe one of the best games that they have played in a very long time. Double overtime. 3-3 heading into the second OT. And what does Vinny Trocheck do? He puts that bad boy home. He cleans up the garbage. He gets it to 4-3 against his former team. He sticks it right up their rear end. And it's a beautiful, beautiful sight to see. Because things are clicking for this New York Rangers team the way they're supposed to be clicking. They're the number one seed. And everybody keeps doubting them. Everybody keeps saying that this team isn't that good. And they don't tell me why this team isn't that good. I mean, listen, do I know Matt Rempe is unplayable? Absolutely. That's why he's not on the ice towards the end of that game. Now, that's for Peter Laviolette to figure something out. And hopefully, Philip Hedl is healthy. Because if Philip Hedl is healthy, this team is... Oof. Yeah, I think that's when you'll start to see everybody give them a little bit more respect, perhaps. But I get it. I get it. They're not fully deep. But with the talent that they have up top, the guys that they have on those first two lines are good enough to handle almost any team in the league without even having a fourth line. And you saw it last night. When you're not playing Rempe at all in the game, and you're barely playing any of his line mates on the fourth line, and you are just strictly going with Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and Lafreniere and Trocheck in overtime, it's going to be a lot on them. But they're the guys that can handle the load. They're the guys that win championships. They put their head down and they keep pushing until the end. Now, that's not going to work all the way through, but when you have games where you're stuck with a certain lineup, they can help you out. Now, I'm hoping, like I said, Philip Hedl is going to be healthy enough to play. Because while I like Matt Rempe, while I think he's a good player with a nice little future on him, he's not skilled enough to be going out there every single night right now. Because he is too much of a liability. He is too much of a potential penalty every time he steps on the ice. And he doesn't do enough to affect the scoreline to be out there. At least I should say, affect the scoreline in a positive way. I mean, I'm sure him being out there can affect it in a negative way, and it has, but he's just a guy who's for the future right now. He gave everything he's got. He gets the crowd going. Sure, there might be a time or two where you need him in this playoff run, but for right now, he's going to need to become a healthy scratch for a little while. At least, if Philip Hedl is healthy, because they have to get him out of that lineup. If they get this fourth line clicking, this series might be a sweep with Carolina. I get the Hurricanes are good, and I give them their respect. They're just not better than this Ranger team, and you saw it last night. They poured it all out there in a game two at the Garden. They wanted that one desperately. They don't want this series going seven. They don't want this series going long. They're trying to get out of this quick, too. And they tried as hard as they could to get this evened up and head back to Carolina. And what happened? Igor Shesterkin stood on his head. He is magical. And people want to tell me how he's overrated, or he's not the one, or hey, yeah, he's really good, but he's not great. Yes, he is great. When you go out there and you stop as many shots as he does in playoff games like he does, I mean, what are we even doing? What are we even talking about? The guy is a superstar. He is the reason the Rangers won that game last night, and he is the reason that the freaking Carolina Hurricanes are sitting here 0-2 right now. Igor is the type of great equalizer that every NHL team dreams of. And the Rangers got him. The Rangers have him, and they got him locked up. And nobody can match them there. Nobody can match them in goaltending, no matter how good to great your goalie is. Because Igor is better, no matter what you want to tell me. And as long as he is between those pipes for this team, I'm going to believe that they are going to take care of business every single time they step on the ice. And last night, that was the perfect example of it. That was the perfect example of Igor Shesterkin being Igor and letting his team go out and win that game. And letting his team have the opportunity to go win that game. And, I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's beautiful that this Ranger team is taking care of business. They're a one seed that is actually doing their job. They're a President's Trophy winner who, guess what, is playing in the playoffs like a President's Trophy winner. What a novel concept. What a novel concept. Instead of being afraid of winning the President's Trophy and having home ice throughout the playoffs and being afraid of a damn curse, how about we all step up and just say, screw it. Let's go be the best team in the regular season, and let's go and have that home ice for the playoffs, because I'll take my chances with home ice rather than playing around to try to not get a curse on my team. I love it. I love it, too, because you have the books that are all in on this as well. The Hurricanes were favorites in the game last night. Coming into the series, I told you guys the Canes were the favorites. And for some reason, the Rangers just keep getting disrespected left and freaking right. And now you're going to start to see those books have to adjust. Because all of those books are sitting there going, oh, we can capitalize on the fact that there's a little bit of a thought that there's a curse on the President's Trophy winner. We think that can happen here. And we'll also, we'll justify it by saying the Rangers don't have as many lines. They're not as deep as the Carolina Hurricanes. That's great. That is absolutely phenomenal that Carolina has a fourth line that is really solid. But the Rangers have better lines top to bottom. They're better. They just are better. Their top line is better. Their second line is better. Their power play is better. Their special teams overall are better. Their goalie is better. But somehow nobody even looked at any of this. Nobody took any of this into consideration coming into this series. Everybody just went, you can't doubt the Carolina Hurricanes. And you can't. You can't doubt them. They are a good team. You give them their respect. Always. But you also have to give the Rangers their respect. You also have to give the team that won the President's Trophy some damn respect as well, because they're freaking good, and they have home ice advantage in this series. So why are we all sitting around trying to figure out how to praise the Carolina Hurricanes and tell them that they're a good team and, we're afraid of them, without saying, hey, we believe in this Ranger team to actually make a run. We believe in this Ranger team to actually go out and do something special. Not just sit around and get beat up by a team that wasn't good enough to beat them in the regular season. A team that wasn't good enough to take the division off them in the regular season, or the President's Trophy for that sake. A team that just got hot as hell at the end of the season and continued to push and continued to push and continued to push while the Rangers were doing it the whole damn year. The Carolina Hurricanes are a good team. Don't get me wrong. And they deserve a lot of respect. And they're going to win at least one game at home. At least. Only one game at home. The Rangers have taken the other one. This series is over in five. I'm sticking to it. That's my prediction. That's my projection. And it's not just that. It's a damn spoiler as well. Rangers in five. This team is too damn good. And they're too damn motivated. They're determined. And they want to get it done. When you have professional athletes who are all on the same page and are all working towards that same goal, and they're all in, yeah, that's what you call what you're seeing with the New York Rangers right now. Shout out to Vincent Trocheck. I wanted to throw this in here actually towards the end. His goal last night gives him a total of eight straight playoff games, with a goal that ties a New York Rangers record. Igor Shesterkin with his sixth straight playoff victory for the Rangers. That is ungodly impressive. And, I mean, the way that he did it last night, he didn't quite get up to his record in terms of saves for a playoff game, but, boy, did he get close. Those Canes put on a lot of shots. And if you're not paying attention like Igor, some of them are going to go in. But we have a goalie like Igor who is so damn good, he's not going to allow just these pesky shots to go in and to create rebounds for Carolina. At least not as many times as they're throwing the puck on net. I mean, that's what they do. They just fling the puck towards the net and pray. And when you have Igor Shesterkin in net, nine times out of ten, those shots aren't going in. But, hey, sometimes they will. And it's a great thing to have Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, Adam Fox, this entire team to just go and push and score you some goals, because they will. As much as people want to act like this Ranger team can't score or this Ranger team isn't about that, this Ranger team can put up six goals in a heartbeat. This Ranger team can put up five goals here, four goals in a second. It might not be what they want to do, but they absolutely can do it. They are more than capable of doing it. So don't test them. Don't make them come out and blow you out of the water, because they will. Trust me, it's there. And when you got Igor behind you, that belief only continues to grow the deeper and deeper that you get into the playoffs. And I am very interested to see how these games in Raleigh go. They start, of course, tomorrow night, Thursday night. We will We'll dive into those reacting, previewing tomorrow. So make sure you hit that follow. Make sure you hit that subscribe. And we'll keep you updated right here on the Zoo Yorker. About last night. Oof. Oof. That was a beauty. That was a beauty. I think that was a really, really, really good one. And I gotta toot my horn. I gotta toot my own horn there. You know, I'm really excited about my Rangers in five pick. I think that's looking real nice right about now. And I know a lot of people are still talking about Knicks in five, Knicks in six. This is going to be a seven-game series. And I'm going to tell you right now, tonight is going to be the biggest game of this series for the New York Knicks. Because if they're unable to come through here in this one, it's going to be tough treading for them. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a war. Philly, sorry. Indiana is so good at pushing the ball, and they are forcing the Knicks to play their game. Now, it's only one game in. That's why tonight is so important. If the Knicks are able to rebound and they're able to force Indy to have to play uncomfortable for them, and you see Indy come out, score less than 100 points, not moving the ball, not scoring with the efficiency that they score, while the Knicks are able to play their game, slow down the pace, have some buckets for a guy like Deuce McBride, have some buckets for a guy like Precious Achiuwa, who is going to be getting a lot of minutes now, since we just found out yesterday, Mitchell Robinson re-aggravated his knee and is going to be missing some time. At least 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, it's a shame. It's a shame with Mitch that this is happening again to him and in the playoffs nonetheless, but it's next man up. It's next man up and just keep rolling. Just keep rolling, keep rolling, keep rolling. I mean, every single freaking time Mitchell Robinson starts to get going, this man just cannot finish, and I feel terrible for him. His body just breaks down every single time. Oh, you got to feel for the young man, because you know he doesn't want to have to go through this. You know, it's not like he's hoping to get hurt, or he doesn't want to play in these games. He's not shying away from the moment. It's just his body literally just, it's not made for a guy to play NBA basketball, as we can see. And it's a shame, because he's so damn good, and he's so damn smart, and it's just going to end up being one of those careers where we're going to say to ourselves, what if, I feel like, and that sucks, because I like Mitch, and he's a great guy, and you can tell he's a great guy, and it just sucks to see a great guy go through terrible things so consistently. But with that being said, it leaves the opportunity now for Precious Achiuwa to step in and start getting some burn. Something that I think is going to be vital for this team. Because when the Pacers go small, Precious is the right guy to be in there over Hartenstein and over Mitch. And certainly, he is a better fit to guard Siakam and a better fit to guard Toppin than OG Anunoby is. As good as a defender that OG is, he is better suited to just continue to go on Haliburton and make his life hell. He is suited to go and take on Naismith and take him out of the game completely. Or go on to Nembhard, take him out of the game. Or whoever off the bench, McConnell. Stick OG on them and let him just end their day. Instead of forcing him onto Siakam, put him on one of those guys and let Precious take Siakam. That's the way that the Knicks have to play today. The Knicks have to show up and they have to play with a different mindset, because they're not the same team that they were anymore. When you don't have Mitchell Robinson there, the offensive rebounding, yes, it can still be around. Precious is a great offensive rebounder. Ihart's a great offensive rebounder. Josh Hart is a great offensive rebounder. But you don't have that big Mitch anymore. So you're going to be less proficient on the glass when you're going up against guys like Siakam and Miles Turner. It's just going to happen at some point. But you can't allow it to take over the game. You can't allow it to be a thing where every time you're bricking a shot, the Pacers are running out. It can't happen. Because if this becomes a track meet the same way that it did on Monday night, the Knicks will lose. If this series becomes a track meet like the game was on Monday night, the Knicks will lose. That's not their game, and they kind of got bailed out. They kind of got lucky that they got so many calls from the refs there. And listen, I'm not one of those guys who blames the ref or gives credit to the refs. But, you know, you look at the two-minute report, you see a lot of missed calls from both sides. And, I mean, that handball was a terrible, terrible call. I'm just going to call it what it is. That handball was a terrible call. I mean, handball, because that's what it was. They called it a kickball violation. I apologize. Ugh. But this is going to be stressful. This is going to be annoying, and it's going to be something that you're going to have to watch with your own two eyes, and you're going to have to see how it plays out. Because if this is again another high scoring game, then you now know, we all can now know, that the Knicks can't stop the Pacers if that happens. If you see this Knicks team, however, hold this Pacers team to under 100 points and do their damn thing, scoring close to 110 and win this game by 15-plus points, then you're going to know that the Knicks found what they need to do. And that's going to be a beautiful thing, because it'll mean they figured out their depth, it'll mean they figured out their rotations, and it'll mean that the guys in the starting lineup will hopefully be able to get some rest down the stretch, because, again, you can't play guys 45-plus minutes every single night in a playoff series where they're running up and down the court, left and right, and not expect them to break down. You just can't. You can't do that. And the Knicks right now are relying on that, and hopefully, we see Tibbs readjust going into tonight, because if not, this series could be turning on its head very quickly And I'm not going to predict that right now. I still got Knicks in seven. But there's a part of me that is starting to get a little bit of fear into my heart. I'll leave it at that. And the fear in the heart is gone for the New York Yankees. When you look at the Houston Astros, there is no fear. No fear for the Yankees. Alex Verdugo, four RBIs, a homer. Volpe goes yard. Stanton goes yard. Judge brings in a ribby and scores a run. I mean, it's just one of those games where the Yankees go off and they win 10-3 and they smash Justin Verlander around and they have themselves a little fun at Yankee Stadium. That's what it's all about, baby. This is a team that I told you has buried the Yankees for years, for a better part of the last decade. They have taken the Yankees' lunch money and they have laughed in their face doing it. And now they're sitting here 11 games under 500 after last night. They're sitting here a joke and a shell of that championship dynasty that they were all the way up until last year. And now the Yankees have their opportunity to nail the coffin, to end the dynasty of these Houston Astros and force them into a well that is a deficit of 13 games under 500. I mean, this is the opportunity you've been waiting for, Yankee fans. And I know it's not the playoffs, so it doesn't feel the same way. And I know the Astros stink, so you're not looking at it like this. But this is what you've been waiting for. Because the Yankees have survived that Astros period, and they are still the Yankees. The Astros had fun. They had their runs. They went for it. They got their championships. But now they're sitting here, and they suck. And they still think that they don't suck. You beat up on their ace last night. You crushed him, demoralized him. Now you go out there and you rip their heart out for two more games at Yankee Stadium. And you let your fans dance on their graves a little bit. And you let the players get in their last little licks here. And you end the Houston Astros as you know them. And you send them into their next decade plus of obscurity. Because that's who the Houston Astros are. The Houston Astros might have their fun for a little bit. They might show up. Hell, they might even win World Series like they did this time around. But they're not going to be here every year for the next 30 years. That's not who the Houston Astros are. They're not the New York Yankees. And it's time the New York Yankees started acting like the New York Yankees. And even though there aren't championships with this team, and even though there aren't World Series appearances with this team still has a lot of pride. And this team needs to show that they have a lot of pride. And they need to sweep this series. They took game one handily. They sent a message to the ace of the Houston Astros and Justin Verlander and to the entire organization and team over there. They are that damn good. Put some respect on this Yankee team's name. I know we give them criticism for the way that they hit in critical situations and in clutch situations. But last night, they came through. Last night, they understood the task at hand. And they crapped on the Houston Astros the way that the Yankees should be. The way that the Yankees should be embarrassing the Houston Astros. Especially with all the receipts that they have over the past 6 to 8 years. It's a nice thing to see. It's a nice thing to see also. You gotta love it. You just got to. And also, Aaron Judge, that average that we were all talking about, sub 200, sub Mendoza line for so long this season. Yeah, well, he's up to 222 now. So, not anything to write home about, but he's getting hot and he's starting to heat up. Don't let this man get going, because once he gets going, once you start seeing the ball leave the park off of his bat, look out. It's good night, Irene, because that's when this Yankee team becomes immortal. And I'm not going to start comparing them to anybody because they haven't done anything, but they have potential to be great, unlike the Mets, who I think have potential to be good, and they're showing it, and they're doing their thing right now, and I have to give credit where credit is due. Because my guys got another dub in St. Louis. They are back to 500. 7-5 Mets beat the Cardinals last night. Jose Buto gets his first win. And it was just a good game. I mean, Brandon Nimmo hits another home run. His second of the series. Second in 2 days here. Pete Alonso hits a double, drives into, and then hit a home run late to put the thing away. It's nice. It's nice to see the Mets responding. because I've told you, they're a very inconsistent team, and they're probably going through one of their hot spells right now, but it's still nice for them to be sitting at 500, and for them to be in a situation where they are going to redeem themselves with a win today over the Cardinals. They redeem themselves from an awful, awful series versus the Cardinals earlier in the season where they got swept at home. And I told you, you cannot lose these series to bad teams. And the Cardinals are a bad team. And if you don't consider them a bad team, well, then you have to look at the way you look at the Mets. The Mets can't lose to any teams that are on their level or lesser than them. That's how you lose out. That's how you sit out and miss the playoffs. So if the Mets do want to be a playoff team, they got to finish this off today. We'll give our claps to Buto. We'll give our claps to Nimmo. We'll give our claps to Pete. And it is very nice to see Pete showing up because we got a lot of question marks about Pete. I told you the other day, Pete may be looking at a future, you know, a different destination come July and August. But the Mets can still save that. He can still save that. All they got to do is just do this. They got to find a way to make this consistent. And after they take this series from the Cardinals and they come home 4-3 versus the Braves and then 2 versus the Phillies, it's going to be a very important run. It's going to be a very important stretch of games. And they cannot, by any means, find themselves multiple games under 500 when it's all said and done. They have to find some consistency over the next week. Because if they can do so, if they can finish off this sweep, get themselves to 19-18 going into the Braves series this weekend, then you can see a different Mets team over the weekend with the Braves. And that team will be confident, that team will be ready to play, and that team will have no fear. And that's what you want for this Mets team. I mean, at all points of this season, but especially when they're going up against the Braves and they're going up against the Phillies, two teams that are considered to be light years ahead of the Mets. And I'm not going to lie to you, I agree with that sentiment. I agree with that statement. But the Mets can show that they are a team to be messed with. They are not a team to be joked around with, and that they can and will be in the hunt for the playoffs all the way through September and hopefully into October when those playoffs get started. It may seem like a mundane game in the early May, but the reality is that every single game right now is important for this Mets team because every single game is going to count when it's all said and done. And it's going to matter, and it's going to make a difference in how this Mets team finishes the season and where they end up going when it's all said and done. You have to win these games. You're not going to play St. Louis later in the year, so you have to win this game. You're not going to be able to get these wins back. Do it now. Get it done. Get the sweep and head home for Atlanta, hyped up and ready to go. Big game for the Metsies today. Getting going at 1:15 from St. Louis. And of course, you are going to have the great Jose Quintana on the mound taking on Sonny Gray, who's having a hell of a year. And Quintana looking to bounce back. What better way to do it in the old town of St. Louis for him? Yankees start tonight, 7 o'clock, and you are going to have a nice little matchup on the mound if you are the Yankees. You're going to have Carlos Rodon looking to bounce back versus Eric Geddy for the Houston Astros, who 8.27 ERA, 1.96 whip. I mean, the Yankees, it's time to keep this thing going. It's time to keep this home winning streak going. It's time to make this homestand a sweep. Keep it up against the Astros and whoop their asses tonight. Knicks tip off at 8 o'clock. Remember that. It's an 8 o'clock tip for the Knicks tonight. They are a standalone game. Make sure you are glued. Unfortunately, Reggie Miller will be on the commentary, and that's going to piss a lot of us off as Knicks fans, even though he's probably not going to be aggressive or saying anything crazy. It's still going to be annoying that Reggie's on the call. But we're going to have to live with it, and we're going to have to get through it together. So let's just do this. Let's go Knicks. Get this dub tonight and make them play New York Knicks basketball. Make them play your game. Let's go, boys. Oh, it's going to be a fun night. It's going to be a fun night, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you are locked in. Hit me up on the Twitter, on the X machine, at Zoobeard77. That is where you can holler at me all night long. right up until we get back here tomorrow with another episode of the Zoo Yorker. So make sure you follow, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and I'll be talking to you then. But for right now, my good people, you stay beautiful. You have a great day. I must bid you adieu. Peace!